every Wednesday afternoon, we like to get you free advice on some of the many topics or discussions we've chatted about here on Lunchtime Live. So today we are talking about wills, and that's everything from making them to disputing them. Solicitor Susan Murphy from makemywill.ie is here to answer all of your questions. So you can send them in to us, send me a voice note if you like. It's 087 1400 106, or you can give us a shout. 1800 453 106 is the number also. Good afternoon, Susan. How are you?
Hi, Andrea.
Now, loads of messages coming in for you. This listener says, my husband won't make a will. We're the joint owner of a home. We've two grown-up children. We've no other assets. Can I make one of my own? Will it count? Will it be legal if I die first? What happens if he dies first, asks this listener.
Okay, well, first of all, I suppose when there is joint property, you need to think about survivorship. So there is an automatic rule of survivorship that would apply to joint property. So it would go to the survivor if something happened to you. So in your listener's case, if she was to go first, the husband would automatically get the house.
Even if there's no will?
If there's no will. Or if there's a will even. It's just, it's an automatic entitlement. But that's not to say, I know she said she's no other assets, but like, there's bound to be something there, like, you know, bank accounts, or there might be a pension
policies,
or a policy or anything like that. Also, the will would usually cover off if she was, or if he was to predecease her. You know, you would deal with that scenario as well. So in that scenario, if he died first, she would have the automatic, the full entitlement to the house. So then her will would come into play.
In the unfortunate situation that they, you know, both parents were to die at the one time, or maybe in a car accident or something like that, in the absence of a will, what would happen then, Susan?
If there's children there, then automatically the children would get everything equally. But it does make it, it's a lot more straightforward to have the will, and then like in the will you'd be appointing an executor. The will would deal with that scenario as well, but you would appoint an executor, and then you'd also in the will you'd probably deal with the situation, well, you know, would your preference be that the house would be sold and split between the kids, or would you want the house to go to the kids? Often when the house goes to the kids, it can lead to hassle, because there might be one kid who wants to live in the house and bring their partner in or whatever. Another one might want to sell it, you know, to use their share to put a deposit on their own property and that kind of thing. So again, I would say it's just more secure for everybody involved just to have something in place, something legal.
Mary's wondering, I'm estranged from my son for 13 years. I've tried to contact him, but he was actually quite abusive each time that I did. Do I have to include him in my will?
No, in a word, no. A lot of people, it's one of the common questions I do get asked, that people feel that they have to leave a child's share in the will. They don't have to. But what I would say is, like, to get legal advice on it, get the solicitor to take proper attendances, you know, to note the position and her reasons why she's leaving him out of the will. A child can contest it. Well, they can bring an argument. It's called a Section 117 application. And it's basically if they can prove to the court that the parent failed in their moral obligation to kind of set the child up in life. You know, but if she's
But that's
educated,
hard fault,
yeah,
isn't it? Like
it is.
If you put your child, you know, clothes on their back, put them through school.
Yeah,
fed them.
Like, well, that's like, I mean, if you can prove,
neglect,
if you can show that you've done that, and, you know, give them their education and that kind of thing. I mean, really, that the child has a very difficult case to prove there. So,
but
it's unlikely.
If it's a case, though, Susan, I suppose the other flip of Mary's situation there, if it's a case that you specifically don't want a family member, whether it be sibling or child, included in the will, are you better to write one to specify that?
Yeah. Well, you might need, mightn't necessarily specify, I do not want Joe to get
out.
To get something. But you would, like, I mean, as long as it's in the will, your intentions are clear, and get the will. Don't do a DIY will.
Yeah.
Make sure you're, you know, there's proper attendances, get the legal advice and have a track.
Okay. This listener, Susan, is currently writing a will. My son is separated from his wife by mediation, signed by both. Her part of mediation says she won't be able to get money that he may inherit or win in the future. He still pays the mortgage in the house. Need I make a will to specifically rule her out? They've no children.
Yeah, in that situation, I'd definitely say make the will just to cover it off. As she said, it is covered in the mediation agreement. But I mean, like, again, the will, it's a legally binding document. You're getting your intentions across, and, you know, it would be binding. So yes, definitely go get the will done.
In that case, if the husband and or the son and his wife are separated by mediation, like, there would be no assumption, would there, that the daughter-in-law or ex-daughter-in-law would be included in the will?
You'd have to check the wording of the mediation agreement, but there, like, there is, it's usually a step on the road to a divorce, but like, or a legal separation. But if there isn't any legal separation, there, a spouse does still have some rights to a share in an estate. So again, I would just say, like, be very clear on that. If you have any kind of concerns about that happening, or about your intentions not being met, get the will done and get it in place.
Okay. 087 1400 106 is the number. Listener just wants to point out, particularly for older people, that you should always include a doctor's cert to say that you're mentally fit to make a will. I had untold problems as an aunt had dementia on her death cert. The solicitor who set up the will had to be contacted to certify that she was mentally okay when she wrote the will in the first instance.
Yeah, you can get that. If a probate office sees dementia on a death certificate, it does raise flags. They will look at kind of what year the will would have been made. And if it is reasonably close to the date that the dementia diagnosis was, they will look for some kind of an affidavit of testamentary capacity to show that they had the capacity to make the will.
Inheritance tax. What are the succession rights for stepchildren? What inheritance tax would my son have to pay if he's the benefactor of his stepdad's will?
Stepchild, from a tax point of view, a stepchild gets the same tax-free threshold as the biological child. So his threshold would still be the €335,000.
Okay, so that's if they are
married and you have stepchildren. They come within the same bracket from a tax point of view.
Yeah, so that's
if there's a will now.
So that's the €335,000.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
My husband and I are South African. We've lived in Ireland for 6 years. Our children are 20 and 17. Our lives are all based in Ireland. We want to know if it's possible to put into our wills that if we pass away, our children are to remain in Ireland under the care of our best friends and not to return to South Africa. Is that possible? Interesting question.
The guardianship only comes in like, it's only relevant up until age 18. So it's really only like in relation to that younger child that they have.
The
17-year-old. But if they were to, say, appoint the older sibling as a testamentary guardian, or their friends that they mentioned as the guardian, like if that testament, like you can appoint who you want to appoint as the testamentary guardian, as the kids who would be responsible for the day-to-day care of the kids. So if the testamentary guardians are in Ireland, that's absolutely fine. There's no problem. But after age 18, the children are technically old enough to decide where they want to be themselves.
Okay. So 087 1400 106 is the number. Listener, Brendan's wondering about the average cost of making a will. I know it's a bit like how long's a piece of string, but for somebody with a basic will, what kind of money are you looking at?
Well, I suppose I can only go on my own and like research I would have done in the past. But like we would charge roughly about, make my will, it'd be about like maybe anything from €150 plus VAT for one person. But like that can increase depending on the complexity of the matter and how specific and how detailed the will is. For couples, then you'd be talking usually about maybe €250 to €300 plus VAT. Now, I should say I'm based down in Wexford. I do work nationwide, but I'm in Wexford. I do know, like, I mean, some of the firms maybe up in Dublin and in other offices, like, you know, would charge a lot more. So it just, as you said, how long is a piece of string? Yeah, it varies
a
lot.
I'd like to leave my non-cohabiting partner my house when I die in the event of her dying after me. I'd like it to stay in my family with my nephew or niece. Can I do this in my will?
To leave the house to the partner or to the niece or nephew?
I'd like to leave my non-cohabiting partner my house when I die. But in the event that she dies then after me,
can I
leave it to my family with my nephew and nieces?
Yes, you can. So what you'd be talking about there is leaving the partner a life interest in the house, or what is more popular these days is they might leave the partner a right of residence in the house.
So they would have a right to
reside in it.
Yeah.
Be careful with that though, because people are living longer now. People are going into nursing homes and things like that. So whereas before you might have said, oh, a right of residence for life. But if that person has gone into a nursing home and in a nursing home for 15, 20 years,
could I then sell his
house?
And didn't
have the capacity to release, to discharge that burden on it, then they're kind of stuck in a limbo situation. So what it would be is you like the best thing for him would be to leave the right of residence until the partner goes to reside permanently elsewhere, and then with the full interest then to go to the niece and nephew. But there will be tax consequences to that now, because say the partner, the non-cohabiting partner, has a very low tax-free threshold if they were inheriting. Now, the right of residence, I suppose, is a bit different. It's not
he's making it clear that it's like it's his house. She can stay in it till her day.
And then he wants to give
it to his nieces.
Look, with that, I would say, like, talk to the solicitor about it and see what works best for your own situation, your own circumstances, and what your intentions are.
My dad guaranteed my mortgage for health reasons, so my name and his name are on the mortgage, but mine on the deeds. I then met and married my husband. So what happens in this case when I die? Says this listener.
Again, it depends on, you'd need to see the title deeds to see if it's a joint tenancy with the dad, or it might be that they have like a 50-50 share in the property.
Both names on the mortgage, just hers on the deeds.
But the mortgage is probably, she probably would have got life cover for the, to cover the mortgage. So if anything happened to her, the mortgage is cleared. The dad may be the same. If anything happened to him, the mortgage might be cleared. It's very case specific.
Okay.
But as regards the house situation, the fact that there's a mortgage there, she can't get the house transferred to joint names with the spouse without the bank's consent. But that would be an option there if you know, to just move over, switch the mortgage
just
over.
Just on that, Susan, and it's something comes up, I know, many times before. Like, if you buy a house as a single person yourself, right, and in time your partner moves in with you, how do you ensure that they don't have any right to the house in the event it all goes belly up? Like,
if it goes all belly, well, yeah. I mean, they don't have any. I mean, and, like, are you talking about just not a marriage now?
No, well, I'm just in light of that texter's query. Like, I mean,
they shouldn't have any rights to the house, but like, to protect that, again, I would say, I know I'm harping on, but I would say make a will and have your own intentions.
Like, it's great
that
he's moving in with you, but have a chat with your solicitor.
But I mean, on saying that, I mean, that person, like, in the reverse of that, say if they did want the partner to get the house, until it's in writing, the partner doesn't have
some form of rent or contribution.
They don't have an automatic right to a share in the house.
Listen, Susan, loads of questions still coming in for you today. People very keen to learn about wills. That's solicitor Susan Murphy from makemywill.ie. Susan, thanks a million for joining us here in studio today. That's all we've time for. We'll be back at midday tomorrow. As always, if you've missed any of the show, you can listen back. The podcasts are online. Just subscribe there to Lunchtime Live.